Welcome back. We are in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4. Let's go. So we're talking about Melchizedek. And it mentioned in verses 1 through 3 that we reviewed yesterday that he was a priest. And note that he's both king and priest. It says king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. He's both king and priest. That's something that Aaron and no one in his line had accomplished, right? This is extra special. It goes on to say that he's the king of righteousness, king of peace. Well, righteousness and peace go together, right? Righteousness results in peace. Let's look at Isaiah 32:17 to understand that. It says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And then Psalm 27:7 tells us, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, hear mercy also upon me and answer me. That's actually the wrong verse. I wrote down the wrong verse, so my bad there. But anyways, you get the idea that righteousness leads to peace. And that's why we want to be clothed with God's righteousness, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, right? It's grace and peace. We call those the Siamese twins of the Bible. You'll see grace and peace together a whole lot. And grace is always preceding the word peace, because until we understand the grace of God, we're not truly going to have peace in our hearts. And until we're filled and surrounded and credited with the righteousness of Jesus, we're not going to be able to have that peace. I'm not talking about peace like, oh, peace kumbaya, there's no war, there's no controversy, there's no conflict, there's no tension anywhere, my life is just so easy and peaceful. No. True peace is being still and quiet and joyful, even in the midst of a trial, even in the midst of a struggle, of a battle, right? Anybody can go on a vacation and say, sit by a beach and, you know, have some quesadillas and whatever, and just be like, ah, this is so peaceful. I am so joyful, right? That's easy. Anybody can do that. There's no credit to that. But when you go and you're going through a really tough time, you're going through chemotherapy, one of your friends is, or family members or spouse is going through chemotherapy or dying, or you've lost a job or something like that, if you can still have that peace and joy, I'm not talking about you have to be happiness, like saying, yes, I'm glad so-and-so's sick, or there's death, or there's job loss, or money problems, or this, or divorce, or anything. No, it's just saying, you know what, I can still be joyful because I know that I'm going to be in heaven one day, and God has a role here for me. And to be able to rest in that peace, that is powerful. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Right? Because the lesser gives tithes to the greater, right? The people would give tithes to the priests. Abraham gave tithes to this person. So Abraham knew that there was something special, tangible, and awesome, and worthy of this person, that he would offer up 10% or a tithe of the spoils of the war, right? That is huge. That says who Abraham... We all love Abraham. This says who Abraham knew that this person was. Not was hoping that where he knew it, because he's giving him money and spoils of the war and that tithe, and that is incredible, and that is something to look at. So if Abraham believed that this person was worthy of giving a tithe, then you better believe this is someone special right here. Verse 5, and indeed those who are the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. So, the Levitical line was this priestly line, and Aaron was the first priest. And so we'll say the line of Aaron, the Levitical line. Well, this is the order of Melchizedek. Right, there's not really ancestors. There's no ancestors to Melchizedek, and the only one to come from this order is Jesus. Right, and I believe that Melchizedek is probably a Christophany, which is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, like a cameo, It may not have been, and we can agree to disagree on that. The Bible is not perfectly clear on that to us. God can clear that up in heaven for us, but I think that's probably what the picture is here. But it's a better line. It's saying, okay, I gave you the Levitical line, and Aaron was the first king. You've got the line of Aaron, and then the firstborn would become the next priest. And there's one better, right? That was a good line. This is a better line. So he's saying Melchizedek is so important. This is a better line than the Levitical line, than the Aaronic line. And that says a lot to us right there. And verse 6, but he whose genealogy is not derived from them receives tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. So again, we're going back to he had no genealogy. It wasn't from this Levitical line, this Aaronic line, this Aaronic priesthood. He was without mother and father, without genealogy, king, priest, righteous, peaceful, all of that. And that's what Abraham saw. That's what Abraham knew, so he gave him these tithes. And it says, is not derived from them, say that again, but he whose genealogy is not derived from them receives tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Right? The greater blesses the lesser. Melchizedek here blesses Abraham, and Abraham received those blessings. If Abraham was offended and didn't think he deserved it, then he wouldn't have received those blessings, but he did. Verse 7. Now beyond the contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. We just described that. Verse 8. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witness that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So the tithing was so important here. And it's paying that tribute, paying that respect. And again, tithing is an Old Testament, I can't think of the word, it's just not coming to my mind right now, but that's what God told him to do in the Old Testament. He doesn't tell us to do it in the New Testament, but we can model a lot of things from the Old Testament, and that's a good thing to model, to give away money, right? He doesn't specifically say to give away 10%. That was basically the definition of a tithe. But he tells us to be generous and to be givers and to not hold tight to our money, and that we can't love both God and money. And, you know, lots of verses in the New Testament that he's basically saying, in my words, don't hold tight to your money. Don't let money control you. Don't be focused on money. Focus on heavenly things, not earthly things, on permanent things, eternal things, not temporary things. And that's, of course, what money is temporal and temporary. And so it's a wonderful model for us to model that. So, yes, giving here is something that we want to think about, and God's going to bless us if we give. I've experienced it in my life, and they say you can't outgive God, and I'd agree with that. I mean, when you give, there's something freeing about knowing that you've given and feeling that feeling, knowing that you're helping people, and then spend your time. So that's how you may spend some of your money, but then also spend your time telling people about Jesus in a loving way. Inviting them to church, just telling them God loves them, asking how you can pray for them, right? It could be the stranger on the street, someone at work, you know, who's going through a tough time, or you're just making a comment like, hey, how can I be praying for you? I pray every day, and I like to pray for people I work with. How can I pray for you, right? So look for those opportunities to give money to advance the kingdom and to pray with people and be blessed by God, right? God wants to bless you. God loves you unconditionally, no matter what you've done. Some people are afraid. They're like, "Ah, God can't love me how I am. He, you know, what's going on in my mind, in my life? God can't forgive me. God can't love me. Whatever." Yeah, He does. He loves you, and He will forgive you if you ask forgiveness. And if you've already asked forgiveness, then He's already forgiven you. But He wants that deep relationship with you, to walk with you every day of your life. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that you sent Melchizedek and you sent Jesus to die for us, and we thank you for the peace that can come from understanding and being credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for this experience to learn about the lesser being blessed by the greater, Lord, you bless us, and may we receive those blessings. May we generously give like Abraham did to Melchizedek. May we generously give in your name for the advancement of your kingdom and not hold tight to our money and focus on things that are eternal rather than temporal. In your amazing name, Lord, help us to stay. Amen.